I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 89 of Better Podcasting. In this week's episode, we're going to get with the times while we talk about back in the day.
In this week's Better Podcasting download, we're going to talk all about a Google Podcast player. Or is it really?
Really? Finally, in this week's Better Podback, you tell us all about your week in podcasting.
Mine involved migrating everything to SoundCloud. Lauren, start now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
We are back with another episode of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Stargate Pioneer.
We are back and better than ever, and we're here today to talk to you about the day in sports. No, I'm sorry. We're not Mike and Mike in the morning on ESPN Radio. We're Stephen and SP on Better Podcasting here to tell you all about the great things going on in the podcast world and how to make your hobby podcast better.
It is. It is all about your hobby podcast. And guess what? We are streaming this live to www.geeks.live, where you can find us streaming regularly. It is the Gunna Geek Network's live landing page. So we encourage you to come on by. Our usual home is found now on Wednesdays, unless we have something come up. And it's the summer, so let's be honest. Lots of stuff is probably going to come up.
Something might come up next week. We'll keep you informed on that. But yes, Wednesday is our new home, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, so come on by and check that out. Now, I got a question for you, Stargate Pioneer.
Quest.
I knew you were going to say Quest. I almost said it at the same time. My question for you is, if I was looking to get myself a brand new Audio-Technica ATR-2100 microphone, how much would that cost me guaranteed?
Guaranteed?
Yeah.
Cost you? I mean, if you were, I think they're going for about $80 right now on Amazon.com. But if you don't have $80, you can get one for free, because we are giving away one, just one. We're giving away one for free, an ATR 2100 USB/XLR dynamic cardioid microphone. This puppy is awesome. Awesome for a hobby podcaster. It gives you great sound. You don't have to have a big studio because it's got the USB. You have an XLR input that you can go into a portable digital recorder. It's awesome. It comes with a little stand. You might want to get a new one, but it's great to start out with. And because we've noticed, unfortunately, that it might have a little plosives, might have a little bit of difficulty accepting the pops. So we got a foam windscreen. Yeah, so both can be yours if you contact us at contact@betterpodcasting.com and tell us, why did you start your podcast, or why are you, if you haven't started your podcast yet, why are you going to start your podcast? So get that to us by July 27th, 2017, and we will give it away on the next show. So there you go, ATR 2100 and windscreen. Woohoo!
To clarify, that is how you enter to possibly win it. You're not guaranteed to win it. Unfortunately, we just don't have that sort of power or budget, because we do this as a hobby ourselves. We don't mention that for a while. We do this out of the fun and the love of podcasting. We're not sponsored here, no. We don't have anybody offering us an ad, and hey, if we had anybody offering us even a one-time ad, we would just say no. because you should never accept a one-time. Now I'm just ranting. Okay. But let's go ahead and move on into our segment. Here we go.
Podcasting, as I've mentioned many, many times before, began in 2004 when Adam Curry and Dave Weiner created the RSS feed. But if you listen to people like Rob Greenlee at Spreaker, he's been doing audio web shows even before that. I think the late 90s, he was doing audio web shows and even some streaming he was doing out of his own server. I've heard him tell that story a few times. So since it's been around for 13, 14 years, officially, since Adam Curry and Dave Weiner started it, that means by now, since the average podcast lasts somewhere between 3 and 5 years, I mean, there's been some that have been running since the beginning, but, you know, normally a good run on a podcast is 3 to 5 years, that you have had several generations of podcasters, and you get a new generation of podcasters every few years. I mean, technology changes, you get something new into the space, and they use the new technology. Why the older fuddy-duddies keep using the old technology unless they have a chance to upgrade. So the important thing to remember here is that actually Stephen and myself are from two different generations of podcasters. Stephen, when did you start? 2008?
Yeah, 2008. So coming up towards the 10-year mark. And I've been doing media-related stuff long before that. But yeah, 2008. And SP started just back 3 or 4 months ago.
I think it was 2 months ago. Okay. And I think I have like 1,500 episodes already. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because I do like a gazillion a week. No, I started officially podcasting. I guessed it a lot before that, starting New Year's Eve 2010. But I really started producing my own shows in the fall of 2013. So there's 5 years difference between the 2008 and 2013, which means Steven's an older generation than me, which is kind of funny because I'm a lot older than he is.
A lot older. But why we mention that is because it's funny, even him and I comparing notes and me watching him come into the podcast world, there's been a lot of different stuff that I handle differently than what he did as a newbie. At least he was a few years ago. And there's been things that, yeah, I've continued to do my way, but there's been things as well that as the old guy, I had to adapt and realize, you know what? SP's way is better. And that's what we want to do today. We want to talk today about how things change and some specific areas that we commonly see people giving advice. And generally, they're people who are a little bit more seasoned. And we don't think that it applies always to you as the hobby podcaster. So we've gone into this. We've decided on some specific points that we want to run down and say maybe not the best idea if you're getting that advice today. Right, SP?
Yeah, some of this advice has been sticking around the internet since the posts were originally made in the late 2000s. So, yeah, you have to pay attention to what advice is being given and then take new information into account as well. So we're going to start running down a few of these. The first bit of advice that we hear quite a bit from some senior seasoned podcasters is don't edit. Are you kidding me? Don't edit.
There are people who have been doing this even longer than that. And so what ends up happening is they end up having this sort of natural mic talent and ability based off of just gaining this experience and this sort of finding their footings from back when they could get away with not editing. So now they're these experts and they're like, hey, I don't need to edit anymore. That's not something that I have to do. And so you, though, you're coming into this crowded market, and if you don't edit, well, you're starting out, and I'm trying to think of my point, and
whatever
is my point, and that's what's going to come across. And so you are crowded in this sea of people who not only have lots of experience and are a little bit more polished, but they are maybe having people who can edit stuff, spend only 20 to 30 minutes editing, but do what's going to take you several hours. So you really end up in the situation where you kind of got to edit to swim with everybody.
good communication skills don't just happen. They're honed. So whether you hone them on your podcast or you hone them in high school, in debate club, or in college, if you get a communications major, or you do something for your job that involves communication before you start podcasting, you have done something to increase your ability to communicate. Not all podcasters start out with that to begin with, especially if you're a young podcaster. So you have to learn those skills. So that is one of the things that we have an issue with the senior advice saying don't edit. Another reason was back in the day, back in 2004, 2005, you're talking computers that are 12, 15 years older than what we have in our studios today that we are producing podcasts. And what by say our studios, I mean everybody, you're listening to this, you're watching this on YouTube maybe. I'm talking about your computer as well. If you were trying to do your podcast in 2006, it is a whole different ballgame because not only are the computers a lot less capable, but the software involved was a lot less capable. So I get where that advice was coming from. Those people were forced to try to learn to not have to edit. You don't come from that era. So you actually have a new leg up on that older generation. And you can edit to make your podcast seem better. Now, it's going to take a lot of work and you're going to train yourself over time to have better microphone skills, to have better presenting skills, to have better communication skills. But at the start, you don't have to have perfect skills, but you need to present your podcast as perfect because you're in competition with everybody else.
Yeah, and I can definitely attest to the fact that the computers have made a difference. Like, I've been doing the whole post-processing plugin thing since early on in my podcast experience because, again, my video background means that I was familiar with all of this stuff. So what's interesting to me about it is that now with a modern computer, I can render and save things in a lot less time than it did back in 2008. And even switching from, and I won't get too technical, but even switching from a 32-bit piece of software to 64-bit, you would see a difference as well. But I'll let you take that nugget and dive into that on your own. But what else might be a reason why people say don't edit and we think that you should edit?
Many people need to edit because, as I mentioned, they're in a sea of competition. I was listening to a couple of movie podcasts this week that I saw posted on a social media site and thought, hey, I'd check them out. They were interesting topics and they were all at a different level of production. And I just noticed the ones that would have benefited from editing. And just on that one social media post alone, there was half a dozen different film podcasts. They weren't all talking about the same film, but they were talking about various different films. There was a lot of Spider-Man Homecoming reviews out there. So you can pick and choose if you want to talk about Spider-Man Homecoming. And so that is one reason. If you have five different Spider-Man Homecoming podcasts that you regularly listen to, but you only have time for one, you're going to go for the one that's probably more highly produced because it's better. And if you don't present yourself off as a better value for your customer, they're going to go somewhere else. So you can think about it as a business right there. And it's not just the microphone presence. It's also the production value. Like if I'm getting a nice music background to something where it's appropriate, I'll go listen to that versus some two guys just talking in their basement, drinking a bunch of brews. So that's something that's a differentiation there. And it's not just us that say this. A lot of people say this, right, Stephen? A lot of people say this. And I think we have an example of an expert in the field and what he thinks about editing.
And we'll go ahead and give the credit after this.
Of course, I went in and had a big dust up over on Facebook because someone says, oh, you know what? We just record and publish all that editing. It's not needed. You know, we have a natural flow to the show and you don't really need editing. And then I went in there and said, how dare you? Just because you're lazy and you don't want to edit, don't come over here and try to tell everybody else that you don't need to edit. Don't take your laziness out and try to spread it around like a virus. It's not what I said, but that's what I wanted to say. And then sometimes I realize that, you know, we as editors, we are, you know, on the front lines for the people that we edit for. Like I know in this clip.
Yeah, I know. And Steve's reading us books now. Grown-ups. Heather Ordover reads us books, too. And her voice is like butter.
Well, of course Heather reads adult books. Of course she does. But what I'm saying is...
Now, I know that Elsie didn't mean to say that Heather Ordover reads adult books, even though she might. I know she didn't mean to say that. So then here comes the trusty editor. And after that, it sounds like this.
Yeah, I know, and Steve's reading us books now. Grown-ups.
Heather Ordover reads us books, too. And her voice is like butter.
Well, of course she does, but what I'm saying is...
See? That's why it's nice to have an editor. Mic drop.
Okay, so fill the listeners and viewers in on what that is, SB.
That was actually John Buchanis, who is from AudioEditingSolutions.com. He edits a few podcasts, and the podcast excerpts that he was giving were from She Podcasts, which is Elsie Escobar and Jessica Kufferman, and their show specifically designed for women podcasters. And he does the editing for them, and thank goodness he does, because he takes out a lot of stuff like that. That was just a funny one that he threw in there. So I was in a Voxer group, and this was set in as an example, and we just had to share it here. I got permission to share it. So John Buchanis, thank you very much for putting that together. And Elsie, thank you very much for sharing that.
And it's just an example on how important editing is, and that we are just not on our soapboxes by ourselves. No, there's lots of other people who agree with us on this. And let's just go ahead and leave editing enough alone there for now and move on to another point, because, again, we like editing. Next one that we want to sit here and take issue with, because let's just be honest, that's what we're doing, is... The Blue Yeti. See, I don't have a special sound for it or anything, Emily. I want to have like a sad violin or something with that, because it's the Blue Yeti. It's a thing of the past. And another one of the past is the Blue Snowball, or the various versions of the NW700 microphone. These three microphones are microphones that quite often were recommended. But honestly, the main one back in the day was the Blue Yeti. The Blue Yeti was the go-to out of all of these. And a lot of people still reiterate this because they see it on different websites, they see it elsewhere, and they just think that this is your best starting place as a hobby podcaster. Now, we have admittedly quite often slammed condenser microphones, but I want to take a moment here to appreciate what the Blue Yeti did do for podcasting. And back in the day, it really came down to two options. Number one, do I sit there and spend hundreds of dollars in gear trying to find a way that I can hook up a budget microphone into my computer? Or do I go with a very simple solution that was the Blue Yeti? Because the Blue Yeti overall produced a good sound. It was easy to hook up by USB, and it gave people a leg up over their other options, which was recording into their iPhone. So the Blue Yeti really did serve a purpose for a while. In fact, I will admit that I bought it once for a co-host because it was the best option for them at the time. But this was many years ago, many, many years ago, and now there are lots of other affordable alternatives out there available, including the Audio-Technica ATR-2100, the Audio-Technica AT-2005, or the Knox KNU-01 Podcaster microphone, I think is the model number. And these are all options that serve the same method that the Blue Yeti did, which is you can hook them up by USB. In fact, they offer a step up over the Blue Yeti, which is that they can also do XLR if you expand your setup down the road. The Blue Yeti that everybody talks about, not the Pro, the Blue Yeti itself was USB only. So you're kind of limited in that fact. And I've personally known people who got limited by that. So this is something that this often is shared by people. People think that it's the best because that was what was said back in the day. But ultimately, what it boils down to is that most environments just won't deal well with it, because the Blue Yeti will pick up a lot unless you bring it close to your mouth and you turn down the gain, which yields a whole bunch of other problems. Like if you laugh loud and you clip, or you end up trying to figure out how am I going to bring this thing so close to my mouth, because it is quite heavy, and so most stands won't support it. So you're stuck with a whole bunch of problems here. And we see a lot of people talk about this microphone still. And there was a time that it was a good go-to for people, but there are cheaper, easier, better options. And so at this time here, we got to say that we have outgrown the Yeti.
We have indeed. And unfortunately, there's tons and tons of articles that are still out there today that recommend the Blue Yeti. There's tons of video gamers that are trying to do video that want a microphone out of shot that go for the Blue Yeti when they should be using a shotgun microphone, because that is what a shotgun microphone is designed for. And I just am asking anybody who's listening to this, do your part in spreading the word that a condenser microphone for a podcaster and a video gamer are not the right microphones. The right microphone is something that has a cardioid or a super cardioid pattern right around, unless you're in some sort of phenomenal soundproof studio, which most hobby podcasters do not have. If you have a soundproof studio, odds are you're more into the professional side of things, but not all the time. But
and to be honest, SP, even if you're in that scenario, you can take that money, and because the Yeti is looking to use USB, there is better value in that range in a condenser microphone. So it's just like, overall, we've outgrown it.
I was listening to some of these new podcasts that I was just checking out this past week, and I was listening, and all of a sudden, I thought I heard a noise. I'm like, what the, is there a motorcycle behind me? Literally, I heard sirens in the background. I heard kids talking in the background. I thought my kids were making noise in the kitchen and they weren't even home. So I was like, what is going on? It was because they were using some version, I don't know what, but some version of a condenser microphone. So the Blue Yeti, while it had its place in history, should be on your trophy shelf now and not used.
And I know many people who have it on their trophy shelf. And I gotta say, you know, I know a lot of people are very passionate about the Yeti, but I have known many people who I have kind of had to give that extra nudge. And after they did make the decision, they have admitted that it was the right decision. So it's hard because you grow attached to a certain microphone. Me personally, I'll swap out microphones on a weekly basis. I got no attachment there. There's lots of different options. But yeah, just go ahead and move on past the Yeti. That is very old advice.
Yes. Now, there is the opposite side, where it says you have to have a specific sound to sound professional. And it usually consists of hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in equipment and post-processing. So that is basically radio broadcasting from the FM days, right?
Yeah. And that's what we see a lot of people model their studios on, who have been doing this for a long time. They've gone and they've essentially emulated what is a version of a actual professional radio studio, because back in the day, if you wanted that quote sound, you had to do it. And there was certain gear that you had to do. Now, the reality is we've evolved. SP touched on it earlier. Computers have changed, and a lot of the stuff that we used to have to do hardware-wise, we can now do software-wise. And because of that, it means that you don't necessarily have to get as big of a studio as you once had to. Plus, a lot of the gear these people recommend is just old. It's just they built up their studio over time. That's what SP and I have done. We admittedly have a lot of gear. We've built up stuff, but there are people who've been doing this longer than us, and they've built up even more. And so they go and they recommend a piece of equipment, and it's like, well, no, there's actually better options than that. Like, I'll give you an example. I actually recently, in the last couple of years, saw some people recommending, still solidly recommending without any footnotes, FireWire mixers. Well, there are USB 2 and 3, primarily 3. Okay, they're primarily 2 available, but I want to see more in USB 3 options available. And so that's something that you might not necessarily get the best advice from somebody who is telling you what they've got based off of years of acquisition.
Yeah, one particular microphone that is an issue that I have is the Heil PR40. Now, I watched and listened to Bob Heil on a couple of occasions, and he flat out admitted that he loves that FM sound, which is okay. That's great. The Heil PR40 is made to give that good FM bassy sort of sound from a male voice. Well, that's not going to work for everybody. It might work for some people that are looking for that sound and they don't have a lot of bass in their voice, but the Heil PR40 would not work for me. I haven't even gone down that road for it. I didn't even particularly care for the BP40, although I will try that again sometime in the future. But the Heil PR40 was a great recommendation when people didn't know that there were other options, like the Electro Voice RE320, like the Rode Procaster, like the Shure SM7B. It's come down in price, so it's a little bit more affordable now, but the Shure SM7B, if you can feed it enough gain, it will work for voices better. Matter of fact, I think, even though I know Daniel J. Lewis is using the Electro Voice RE320, I think, having heard a comparison of his voice, I think his voice actually works better with the Shure SM7B. So that's just an example. And he used to use a Heil PR40, and he was desperate to get off that Heil PR40. So that's just an example of the Heil PR40 is overrated. It's not the end-all be-all. Yes, it is a better microphone than the ATR2100, but it is not the best microphone for everybody.
Yeah, and I've been using one the last, I don't know, month-ish. Actually, probably more than that now. And it's good. You know, I will definitely be pulling it out again to use in the future, but it is definitely overrated compared to what everybody says. And so that's another piece of advice that is dated. And, you know, there is a certain person that rhymes with Mio Mamort that really gave the PR40 the kick that set off this chain of decades, basically, worth of recommendation.
And at the time, it necessarily wasn't a bad recommendation, but now I wouldn't be giving that recommendation to everybody. A certain select few people, maybe, but not everybody. I tend to think, for instance, that the Electro Voice RE320 is a more forgiving microphone for every voice, but it's not ideal for every voice. I will admit that. And in some voices, I will definitely recommend other microphones. So another example of something that was highly, highly, highly recommended back in the day is audio interfaces. Even if you had a mixer, you had to have an audio interface to pass that information back and forth. You don't need an audio interface anymore, folks. The USB mixers are just fine. I wouldn't recommend a Behringer personally, but USB mixers using the USB capability can take over that audio interface. Now, if you don't want or don't need the mixing capability, there's phenomenal low-cost audio interfaces now that would take the place of a analog mixer going into your PC as well. So just there are a plethora of options. It's not a one size fits all anymore. There are some better solutions than others. And just make sure you do your research and ask a few questions to find out which one is it. But you don't have to have an audio interface to podcast.
No. And the final part on this sort of great gear requirement that is a thing of the past is the overall industry has really changed. And a lot of people look at podcasting differently now, and there's less of a desire to spend money on it. Now, SP and I, like I said, we got lots of gear. Part of it is just our passion, but there's a lot of podcasters out there who don't want to do that. And so that's why the people who are pushing this gear is not giving great advice. It's just something that maybe the recipient of the feedback is like, well, I'm not going to spend that much money. And I will give you a solid example on how this has changed. SP, remind me again who you said at the top of the show started the podcast world.
Adam Curry and Dave Weiner, but I think Adam Curry is the individual that you're going to focus in on right now.
I am, because Adam Curry recently did a Indiegogo, I think it was, of a potential new product that was going to emulate the sounds, and it wasn't going to require all of this gear, but the price tag was still fairly expensive. It was still several hundred dollars. It was called the Podcaster Pro. Well, guess what? They never hit their target because not enough people backed it. And I think that that just speaks volumes on the way that the people are looking at the podcasting world right now, is they don't want to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on podcast gear. And that's what that was targeted to. It was a several hundred dollar device for podcasters. So I think that just really nicely summarizes the change with the way that people look at sort of gear in the realm of podcasting.
Or if you're going to spend that much money, make sure it has the versatility and the functionality that you need. The Podcaster Pro in its initial specifications was very limited. You couldn't do a mix minus in it. You can separate different tracks, but it wasn't meant for that. But yeah, I can do an audio interface for a seventh of the price and get just as good a sound out of it. So that's just an example of how the podcasting community has surpassed him. I know a lot of people were backing the Indiegogo because they wanted to get back to the person that started podcasting, and I get that. But as far as the device, I think you would have been underwhelmed at the capability and the versatility that you would had to need. And I hope Adam Curry takes another stab at this, because I think he's got something going on. Unless he's at a full stop, I think he'll take feedback from what it is, and I think he'll make corrections. And I think he's going to come out with a good device. So I hope the best for him. We'll see about that.
I'm just sad that I didn't get my Stargate Pioneer Edition.
Your Stargate Pioneer Signature Edition?
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, Steven, I will sign the... If you buy a Blue Yeti for me, send it to me. I will sign it, and then I'll send it to you. And there would be your Stargate Pioneer.
Can you run it over while it's down there?
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to another point here, which is album art dimensions. This one here is just a quick pick here. What we've got is that iTunes used to require 300 by 300, and I still see people giving this advice. No, the minimum now for iTunes is 1400 by 1400 up to 3000 by 3000 pixels.
And the size has to be under 500 kilobytes, because Apple at WWDC in 2017 slipped up, I think, and mentioned that it was under a megabyte. And unfortunately, people that run podcast hosting companies have continually had problems with anything over 500. So iOS 11, when it comes out, might actually increase in the amount of size that you can throw in the artwork. But right now, that's not it. So that's just an example of size that has changed over time. Another factor that has changed over time is live is completely unnecessary.
Oh.
I've heard this over and over again. And I get it. For a new podcaster, you might not want to start out with live. But I will tell you that you do have a certain audience that will come to you only if you are live. We actually have several people that come to All Things Good and Nerdy on the network on Sunday mornings that only consume the podcast live. There are people that go to the GunnaGeek.com podcast that only consume the podcast live. And yes, even better podcasting, we have people that only come in and consume the podcast live. Mr. Pennington, I'm speaking to you right now.
No, he watches after too, but mostly on YouTube. Another thing is that websites are expensive. Oh man, you gotta spend hundreds of dollars to get yourself a website. No, that's just not true. That's just not true. A lot of people back in the day thought that you had, well, it was true. You kind of had to spend money of some form, or you were stuck with something like a GeoCities Homestead page. I combined two companies there, but no, now you can find all sorts of easy templates that look really good, that are free. Sometimes you pay a little bit of money for things like WordPress and Joomla and all these other CMSs, and you can find relatively inexpensive hosting, or you could just turn right to your media host and on there. They may offer you a website addition or add-on to your podcast. So absolutely, this is not a thing anymore that they are super expensive to do. Sure, you need to spend a lot of money if you don't know how to build a website to get something that's really good, but ultimately what you want to put on your website for your podcast can probably be done for most hobby podcasters right on the media host section.
Yeah, Podbean and Libsyn have their own web pages that they can throw up there, and yes, they vary in versatility and capability. But if you're just starting out and you don't want to mess with a web page, I would heartily recommend going with one of those. It would give you just about everything that you need, from contact information to a blog post to everything. Now, you can't do a live show on it. You can't direct people to do live on it. So you can't embed a Spreaker player. You can't embed a YouTube frame or anything like that. But it can get you 90-95% of what you need, and no hassle and lower cost. So just keep that in mind about the websites. Now, another thing that bugs the crap out of me personally, because I review podcasts for submissions to the GunnaGeek.com network, is audio quality. A lot of old schoolers recommend 64 kilobits per second and mono files. Yeah, okay, that's good for audio, but more and more people are listening in headphones. They want that stereo sound, even though if you're recording just through a microphone. So more, even though I produce in mono, more people want stereo, but more importantly, people want better quality because the headphones that they are getting more and more better. I mean, Steven, you talked about your new car and the fact that the sound system in that thing is phenomenal compared to anything that you had before. And it's a stock sound system.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that is something that, like, for me on the Gunna Geek Show, I do 128. That's what I do the Gunna Geek Show on is 128 kilobits per second. But I say most people 96 is good. But honestly, I hear, but me personally, Steven, I hear the difference with a 64 kilobit per second MP3 than a 96. There's, even with voices, it just sounds more crackly, more garbly. And that's just the way that it is for me.
I just want to back up a second. When you search for a how to start a podcast in Google, yeah, it's a great search. I did it myself. Matter of fact, that's how I found some podcasts about podcasting initially. But guess what? The SEO on some of those older articles are phenomenal. And you will find some podcast 101 stuff from 10 years ago that will tell you amazingly wrong things. Yes, there are good articles out there today. There are better articles that are newer or take into consideration new stuff. Matter of fact, over on Reddit just yesterday, Overdue Book put a phenomenal 101 guide out there and got just a ton of upvotes. And I took a look at it. I read through it. Several other podcast consultants read through it. It's pretty good. Now, one bad thing is she recommended Blue Yeti, but for most part, it was great. It actually showed you the difference in what a cardioid pattern was versus an omnidirectional pattern in the microphone and told you what to do and what not to do. Stuff like that exists today. But if you take a look at a podcast guide from 12 years ago or some YouTube videos that haven't been updated from podcast consultants from 8-10 years ago, yeah, you're going to get wrong information. So just make sure that when you're looking at this stuff, you cross-correlate it with other things going on.
Great advice. Another thing that you might want to consider is the whole knowledge and shared power of stock music websites. That's right. You know, you're looking to make yourself some bumps or an intro or an outro or whatever. And so you find these great articles that, as we talked about, which are telling you all about these free royalty-free music sites that you can go to. Well, here's the thing. Is that, yes, they're good from the sense that they're free, but they're also not good in the sense that they've been around forever and a lot of people are using them. So admittedly on this show, we paid for our intro and we did pay for it ourselves. And we have had multiple people report sightings of it elsewhere. So, you know, they're like out in the forest and all of a sudden they hear it. But no, there's people who have actually sent us clips of this. And so it can happen with anything. But the thing is, it's more likely to happen on some of these go-to free music sites. So it's okay to use them. It's just you need to know that you're not really going to be unique. I've run into this myself. I have actually been listening to other shows. I've even heard commercials where music that I've used has come on. And also, I've even seen it where I've had multiple network members on the Gunna Geek Network using the same music. So it can happen. And if you're using the same sites, it's probably going to happen.
And finally, the last point that we're going to cover tonight is monetization. We are not against monetization. I have to make that clear. But we don't talk about it. Why? Because you don't have to monetize your podcast, especially as a hobby podcaster, because you probably aren't starting off with a large audience to begin with. So a lot of old-time podcasters, consultants, people that have been in business say, oh, you have to make money and you have to create your show to make money. Well, maybe you have to make sure that you're not creating preventions from making money down the road, but you don't have to make money for the beginning. And one reason that they say you have to do that, well, they have a resume and they have costs that they have to cover. So of course they're going to want to make money, especially if they're getting tons and tons of downloads. That bandwidth costs money. And even if they're not self-hosting and they're using a media host, odds are if they're having enough downloads, that the media host is passing that cost along to you, the podcaster. You're just going to have to do that. So your $5 plan on whatever, Podbean, Libsyn, Pinecast, they're going to have to increase that in order to capture their costs of bandwidth, as well as if you are self-hosting through a web media host, yeah, you're going to have to cover that cost. And if you're self-hosting on your own server in your house, you're going to have to make sure that you have the right business plan in order to handle that amount of bandwidth. So yeah, there are things that you have to cover with money, but you don't have to have a Patreon. Don't get wrapped up in the money talk from these old timers. They come from a different era when they had to monetize in order to stay alive. And if you're just doing it for fun, you're doing it for fun. Don't pay attention to the money stuff. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, a great point there, SP. And one of the other thing as well is that these people find it generally pretty easy to do. And so sometimes they make it sound really easy because they do. They've this walking, talking resume. And so they're just like, hey, I'm Bob Smith, the podcaster who has been gold for years. And so it's easier for them. With you who are starting out, no.
Plus, they have established industry contacts and they know who to talk to and if they need to sell an ad. And mm-hmm. they go around from it. It's hard work that they've learned over the past 10 years, but you don't have to go through that initially, definitely.
No.
And then we've gone through a lot of stuff here, but how do you protect yourself against this bad advice as it goes along? Well, you can look at the post date, right? So if you're searching online, you see a post and you either don't see a date or the date is 10 years old, you might want to corroborate that information with something that's a little bit sooner. And the one that bugs me really, and I've seen this more and more, is posts without dates. And I think people do that just so their post seems to be current, but it's not. And there's a certain integrity value that is missing there for me. So,
I agree. I do not like posts without dates, and I'll often click off of posts that don't have dates.
Another way that you can see if the advice is outdated is check out interactive podcast communities and just ask, hey, what do you think about this? And a great place to do that is thepodcastforum.com. You know, come on and join and then ask your question there. And then, of course, you can listen to better podcasting episodes, and we'll tell you all about what's current in the land of podcasting.
So what you're saying is that they should only listen to the most current episode, and they should only listen to us live, because that's the most right information.
Everybody should come listen live, 8 p.m. Eastern, Wednesdays, at www.geeks.live, except for next week.
Well, that is going to wrap it up. We wanted to go ahead and dive into these things and really just set some things straight because we have a lot of new podcasters who do approach us. And we wanted to make sure that we could reference some things that will hopefully keep you on the right path. Before we get to our better podcasting download, I just want to take this moment to mention that we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. And also on the Gunna Geek Network is, shockingly, the official GunnaGeek.com show. That's a show that we do each week there. We stream it live on Mondays. It's myself, Stargate Pioneer, and our co-host, Chris Farrell. And we talk about the latest in the world of geekery. And this past week, we had our 200th episode. We got a lot of voicemails, had a lot of fun. We stuck mostly with our usual format, but it was a lot of fun. And we even had Suncast from GFQ Network join us. He's a recurring guest over there. So if you like general geekery, you should check that out. That's episode 200 of the Gunna Geek Show, available on GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
One of my favorite things is the fact that I use Android. I love me Android. I am a big Android fan, especially all of the ways that Google puts out official podcasting apps. Oh, wait, they don't. That's something that has been a point of contention for a while here with Android users, is that that really Google likes to kind of dabble in podcasting, and they haven't put the best foot forward on that. And one of the things is they haven't made themselves an official app. Years ago, Apple did that. They saw all of these awesome podcast apps out there, and so they decided, let's make our own. Some people embraced it. Some people said, nah, I'll go another way. But they made their own, and it really helped kind of keep things focused. Well, we saw an article that came out on a website called media.info, and just go to the short link. It's geeks.link/Google Player. And it said, quote, Google has quietly launched a podcast player for every recent Android phone. As discovered on the Daily Pod News website, here's how it works. Open Google Assistant. It's available on most Android phones running Android version 6 and above by holding down the home key and say, and it will say, hi, how can I help? And then you say play and then insert your podcast name and then say podcast after that. The Google Assistant will then end up pulling up the podcast. So that's what the website says. Now, here's the bottom line is that Google Assistant, number one, is not available on all phones, just as an FYI. But what it does is it's accessing the Google search feature that has been around for several months now, where as you're searching through the Googles, funny enough, you will see embedded into certain results, if they have the appropriate code, a list of the most recent podcast websites or episodes. In fact, we talked about this back in episode 72 of Better Podcasting. That was in March when all of a sudden this was discovered. So it's really not anything new at all. This is not a new feature. Maybe there's a new feature with Google Assistant integrating into Google Search, but it's the same player that was there months ago. And ultimately, I have this because I use a Pixel. I use a Google Pixel. So I have this. I tried this today. It is not what I would deem to be a podcast player. The podcast players have been out for so long now. There's a certain standard that has to be met, in my opinion, for it to be deemed a podcast player. This equates more to me as something that's an alternative way to on-demand play podcasts. You know, a lot of people use the term streaming. I'll stream the podcast. That's not technically true, but that's what I'm referring to. It's a better way to do that than it is just going to over a website and hit play, because there are some extra features with this player. While it is super basic, it does seem to be buffering somehow. I believe it's doing it on demand, so you go and you hit play on an episode, and somehow it's pulling it. Now, I have not figured out yet, is it pulling the whole episode? Is it pulling a section? I'm not sure, but in any case, it is pulling something. And so that means, in as well, it's also remembering where you're at. So you're going to be able to go back into this and see where you were left, where you left off. It will even give you a notification in the menu, you know, in your usual notification menu. It'll show you where, what episode you've got playing, and you can hit play, and you can also jump back 10 seconds, skip forward 30 seconds. It does quite a bit of these things, but it does not sync. It's not like I can go and subscribe and say sync the latest episodes automatically. No, that's not what it is. I have to go in and tell it to play a certain podcast. So again, it's more like a alternative way to stream, quote, stream podcasts than it is an actual podcast player.
I'm so disappointed because I know that the Google Android infrastructure is just this untapped resource waiting to happen, because there are so many Android phones out there and people listen to podcasts on mobile devices all the time. I just can't wait until Google puts a native app that is in all Android phones that is accessible for everybody that buys one. And they can click on it and they can check out their favorite podcast or even start listening to podcasts. Like, hey, what is this? They get into it. Oh, it's free. This is free audio content that I can listen to. I don't have to pay for audiobooks. I don't have to pay for a subscription other than my connection, whether it's Wi-Fi or the LTE, 4G, whatever. It's free. It's free. And I can listen to all I want. All the SP I want.
And honestly, I do not want to sound like I'm hating on Google with this at all, because I actually firmly believe that this article, based off of what I've seen, I firmly believe that this article has made an error in their jump to conclusion. I don't believe that this was Google's intention with this. I believe that this function is here to help those that are searching and wanting to play something right away. They're looking specifically for it. I am looking forward to the day that they integrate this into the actual Chrome browser on there, because I will use this all the time. as it stands, I'm not going to go and open up Google search separately when I usually just go into Chrome and I'm, you know, browsing my cat videos or my moose videos. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I've got to think of this podcast. So I start searching. I'm not going to go open up a separate app. I'm just going to be in Chrome. I'm going to start typing my search. I'm looking forward to this feature because I think it is very helpful to show up in results on a podcast and see the latest episodes. And maybe I just want to hit play and start seeing, okay, what are they talking about? I think that it's an extremely handy feature, but I don't believe that it is meant to be a podcast player at all.
Unfortunately, no. Let's try it again, Google, and let's get it better and make it better than Google Play Music, please.
Absolutely. But let's find out what you have to say about your podcasting world this week. Stargate Pioneer, I have a question for you.
Quest.
If I was sad a few episodes ago that you told me that Clamor was shutting down, should I be seeking therapy, or do you have an alternative for me?
Well, I think you should be seeking therapy for other issues.
Fair point.
Other than Clamor here. But yeah, so I was actually approached by somebody on Twitter. His name is Neil Pollock, and he created this Get Audiogram website that will automatically download your Clamors. Apparently the Clamor server still exists. I don't know if you can post a new Clamor or not. I would not, by the way, advocate posting new Clamors because the owners of Clamor said they were shutting it down. So I don't know how much that service is going to be there. So I tried it. It's at getaudiogram.com/Clamor. And I have about 700 Clamors that I've made. That's a lot of That's a lot of 16, 24 second audio bits. And I mentioned that I was not going to keep them and I had lost them. So I tried it and guess what? It works. It took a day, but it works. Now the email system to email you the link to the zip file doesn't exist, but Neil passed me the link on a Twitter DM. I was able to download them and boom, I've got all my 700 Clamors. They're not named. And then the MP4 does not exist. It is literally the artwork that you put in there. So you don't have that cool audio face that Clamor made when they were playing the Clamor, but at least you save the audio.
Yeah, do it now, though. If you're thinking of doing it, do it now because the Clamor servers could go away at any time.
Exactly. And then also, if you're interested, you can take that and make it into an audiogram on a beta, another beta app that Neil is working on. So if you're interested, go to contact him and he will set you up.
You disappointed me. You said on a beta and then you hesitated. I thought you meant like a beta tape. I was so excited.
That would have been a Betamax.
All right. We also had on Twitter somebody named Podcastage tweet us saying, I made number 5 on their list. If you don't listen to @BetterPod, you're doing the whole podcasting thing wrong. Get on it. This was, of course, Bandrew, who he's been on our show before. And as we talked about last week, he did make the top 10 list of the past year.
He did indeed. And congratulations for making the top 10 list.
And we only had 10 episodes over the last year anyway. No, just joking.
We had 11. And the one that guessed your mom did not do.
Oh, OK. I see.
Scott Smith tweeted us at WScottSmith19. And he said, the two of you should copyright the term hobby podcaster. Yeah, it's copyrighted, it's trademarked, and we're waiting for the lawsuits to get out there for anybody else that uses the term hobby podcaster. No, we don't care.
It is.
Hobby podcaster. Anybody could use hobby podcaster.
No, I'm charging you every time you say it. I want my royalty check.
If you're charging us $10 Canadian, that's like 2 cents American, so we're fine.
We asked a question as well. We said, what's the first rule of taking a 1 week podcation? Stay off your podcast social media account. Oops, busted. This was when SP was away and he was taking a break from the world of podcasting because he was on vacation. I was away for work reasons, so I unfortunately did not get the relaxation that SP did, but he decided to go on social media anyways. And so Emily from the Story Behind Pod at Story Behind Pod said, you too, question mark? I'm taking a vacation and it's so hard to just relax without checking everything.
It is indeed, especially if you're used to checking it. It'll be like 2 minutes to go 2 days. It's hard to do, but I just want to point out, Stephen, we were on a break.
Anthony Bachman also responded saying, you don't talk about podcation. That's the first rule of podcation. Well done, Anthony. Well done.
Good Fight Club reference. Way to go. Diami Plotke tweeted us and he said, just wanted to make sure you saw this. And this was the SoundCloud TechCrunch article, Sinks as Leaks Say Layoffs by Little Times. Thank you very much for that, Diami. And Stephen, you replied and you said, thank you. Of course, SoundCloud is the best ever and have been around forever. So why would they disappear? Sorry, I felt like I was just quoting Word Edit. And to quote you at the beginning, you have now transferred all of your podcasts over to SoundCloud. And I'm so glad that I have the hosting account for Better Podcasting.
Yeah, no, that's not true. But there's a lot of people very passionate about SoundCloud. And, you know, the challenge with the inevitability of SoundCloud is that we can only say that SoundCloud is going away so much before we lose credibility. And I've actually been making this point for a few weeks now, is that there is an element of truth to those people who see a SoundCloud post and then the reverse thing is saying, oh, let's wait for the usual players to come out. Because the reality is SoundCloud, as it stands at this moment, July 19th, 2017, they have a 100% success rate of not closing. That is as it stands right now. All of these articles that have said SoundCloud is closing right now have a 100% failure rate at telling at predicting SoundCloud's closure, because SoundCloud has not closed yet. The thing is, you need to read between the lines on the articles, and that is what all of these articles are about. They are helping you see that you have risks if you host with SoundCloud. I personally am of the opinion that at least the podcast section of SoundCloud probably doesn't have much longer. That's my personal opinion. But I will continue to share these myself because I think that it's important that people educate themselves. So if they are on SoundCloud now, they need to be prepared for the possibility of closure.
Yeah, who was it? Chance the Rapper came in and said, oh, SoundCloud's not going to go nowhere. But then people tried to contact him, contact his agent. So like, what, are you going to invest in SoundCloud? Whatever. So I think it was a PR stunt, honestly. And I think SoundCloud should do some positive PR, because if they do have financial backing to make it beyond the fourth quarter of this year, they better state that. And I think they've done a poor job of stating that, or what their recovery is going to be. Do they have to disclose everything? No, but they have to emit positive vibes, and they really haven't done a heck of a lot of that. So based on that, I would be worried as well. I've seen the hosting bills that Libsyn has to pay. I can't imagine what SoundCloud has to pay, because SoundCloud is not just a podcast media host. They are a music media host, so they're dealing with a lot more bandwidth back and forth. So that would be my concern there.
We also had on Facebook, Matthew Alvin sent us a message and he said, hey folks, love the show. What episode number covers the best spots to host a podcast in your opinion? Or can you name a few offhand? To which we responded saying, check out episode 65. That is episode 65 is where we talked about self-hosting pros and cons. And of course, we compared a little bit to some media hosts as also. The other one that you want to go ahead and check out is where we ended up doing the comparison, was where I referenced some stats. We talked about it last episode. And what I ended up doing was going through and comparing how Podbean and how Libsyn and Blueberry all compared. That was something that we wanted to make sure to give you some actual information on that, and sort of give you an idea on, if you're a stats junkie, what you can expect. And that was episode 39. And also, off the top of our head, our current recommendations are Libsyn and Podbean. There is an emerging Pinecast, but we just don't have enough data on Pinecast yet. But Libsyn and Podbean, we know of many people who have are big advocates for both of those. There, SB, massive Libsyn advocate. Chris Farrell on the Gonna Geek Network loves Podbean. So we've seen firsthand experience with both of those.
Yep, we have. And I think you'd be fine with any of those. So good luck. And if you have any more questions, don't hesitate to ask. But stats wise, Libsyn is the far superior. You do pay a little bit of premium, just a little bit of premium, a couple of bucks a month to get those stats. But I think it's well worth it. And then we did have another Facebook post as well, didn't we, Steven?
Yeah, and this was actually in response to the video that we streamed live. And what it was Emily from the Story Behind podcast said, poor SP, he will never see this. Referring to the fact that we made a bit of a joke on SP not being on Facebook last time that it was a couple episodes back. And then Scott Smith came in and said, I'll pay SP $500 an hour to critique our show. Oh, yeah. As Emily said, SP will not see this. Now, here's the thing. I actually didn't see this message. SP saw it because Facebook always wants to bring you back in. So they might shut off your account, but they'll still keep sending you notifications, which is what SP got. He got an email with this. So, Scott, he is waiting.
Yes, I'm waiting for your $500 to start critiquing your show. And by the way, that's $500 an hour. So however long it takes me to download the show, play the show, write the show notes up, and then communicate to you, that's how many hours I will charge times 500. And then finally, I just wanted to say that I did get the DM from AureliaPod, which is Damien. Thank you very much. We'll be discussing that in a future show. We're running a little bit long this week.
So that is what you had going on in your world of podcasting. And we want to know what exactly has been happening in your world. You can email us. It's podcast@betterpodcasting.com. You can find us at Twitter @BetterPod, or you can go to facebook.com/betterpodcasting. But while you're doing that, take a moment to send us your answer to the question, what does a hobby podcast mean to you? So send us that answer. We want to know, what does a hobby podcast mean to you? That's something that we've been a while since we've talked about that, and I like to fire that up every now and then. So let's get some answers on that.
I am sincerely waiting for all that. It's been a while since we talked about it, so I want to talk about it some more. And we have streamed this live at www.geeks.live, and we've had quite a few people drop in. We've had an email from Johnny Pennington, so we know you're watching. Thank you very much. We had Seth Zillman say, if I didn't edit, many of my shows could be called Awkward Pauses, the podcast.
So thanks, everybody, who came on by. And yeah, we'll be back again Wednesdays in the future. Likely not next week. But that is the end of episode 89 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew. A hobby podcaster is myself.
And I'm SP, saying enjoy your week. Let us know if you have any questions and have some fun. It's summer 2017. Woo!
Party at SP's house. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.